All right, good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
Let's go ahead and let's stand up and we'll start the worship service.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior, God my healer, yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. 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 Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise. It's to our
God. Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. And oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. And forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. In this joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away, and oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same, and forever I am changed. And oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious name. And oh, happy day, happy day, you washed my sin away. And oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. And oh, happy day, happy day, you washed my sin away. And oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same, and forever I am changed. I'll never be the same, and forever I am changed. Grace, you can be seated.
Good morning. Ooh, I'm a little bit loud, guys. Welcome to Grace Community Baptist Church. My name is Chris Jones. I'm the pastor here. I gladly get to serve along with my fellow elders in helping to lead and shepherd this church. And one of the things that we do every week, thankfully, is gather together to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to welcome you if you are a visitor today. If this is your first time experiencing church or experiencing this church, can you do us a favor? There is a card in front of you in your pew. Can you fill that out? This is our way of getting to know you better, to make sure that we can call you by name and say hi to you and make you feel more welcome. So please do that for us. There are a few announcements that we have today. One is that we have corporate prayer tonight. This is where our whole body, our whole church body, gets to come together and pray for the needs that we have. Our prayer team does a great job getting those needs together on a single list and goes back and forth on the page to where we can see everything going on that we need to be praying for. Now, if you're thinking, I've got kids, I can't come to that. Like, my kids need me. I can't go to this. Look, we have Kids Club. It's available for all kids from kindergarten through fifth grade. So please, you can bring them and you can come pray. You don't have to do one or the other, take care of your kids or pray. You can do both. Also, speaking of kids, I normally would announce this, but there is a change that has been made, and you might not have picked up on the email that was sent out, but the Kids Get Out of School pool party that was supposed to take place Saturday, June 15th, has been moved up a day to Friday, June 14th. If you did not get that email, please see Kathleen. Also, I have a note from the finance team. So anytime you get a note from the finance team, it's either good news or bad news. But I wanted to share what they shared with me. They wanted to give a reminder to our church that our annual budget is a financial blueprint for carrying out our ministry plans for the year. The plan is the result of ministry leaders prayerfully seeking God's vision for ministry through Grace Church for the year. Now, as of right now, with a $410,000 budget total and a weekly need of $7,885, they wanted to let us know that we are currently $18,000 behind in giving so far this year. If giving stays the same, then the deficit would equal $42,000. This would result in using up a significant portion of our operating fund surplus and likely foregoing some ministry plans. Now, that is not our desire. I know if you're like me, and I know some of you really well, if you're out of town, like you want to wait till you can get back in town and give. I know May was a month where a lot of people are traveling. We are a church that gives, and a church that gives not just with our treasure, but also with our time, with our heart, with everything that we have. So maybe it was a situation where you're not able to give. Maybe it's a situation where God's put in your heart, you know what, I should be giving more. Whatever it is, if you felt like you weren't giving, the finance team just wants to remind you, this is so that we can give in other ways. So don't think of it as the pastor's up here, he's saying we need money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we want to honor God with our money. So also honoring God with our time and our money is doing missions. Now, Lisa Prejean, if you know Lisa, since she's been here, you know that she's been going on some mission trips that are also medical mission trips where she gets to take care of someone physically, but also gets to share the gospel with them. And so she's supposed to be going on a mission trip very soon. And so I was going to see, is Kevin Kubota in here? He was supposed to, there you are, Kevin. If you want to come up, if you want to lead this time, I'll hand it off to you after I pray. Sound good? All right. Let's go ahead and pray, and I'll pass it off to them. Father, thank you for your grace that you've shown to us in Christ, and that we get to give back to you what you've already given to us as an act of worship to you. Father, I know we talked about one aspect of that, but this is really all of our lives. Through our time, through our voices, through our actions, Father, I pray today that you would ingrain it in us all the more that we are to be people of grace and we are to display that grace. Father, thank you that you put on the hearts of our people to go and share the gospel that we are commanded in Matthew 28 to go and do this so that we can make new disciples. Disciples that who have their hearts and their whole lives belonging to you. Father, I pray that you would bless Lisa and bless our whole church in this endeavor. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I wanted to invite Lisa up, Jean. And it's amazing how God can use, you know, everyday jobs to give us opportunities to serve him, not only in Richmond, but overseas. And Lisa has had a couple already, just, you know, unique opportunities. And she's leaving this Friday. So, you know, we want to hear about where God is taking her and what she's going to be doing.
Let me move a little so I'm not in the spotlight here. I'm Lisa. I'm an optometrist, and I actually work at the VA hospital. But I leave this Friday to go to Zambia in southern Africa for 2 weeks, so the 14th through the 29th, with Christian Medical Dental Association. So it's a medical mission trip, but their model is you're always partnering with a local pastor and church to strengthen the local body, and that's why I am so passionate about it, because you're strengthening what God is already doing and supporting the local body. And so we're partnering with Pastor John and his wife Beauty, and they're planning to plant a church where there's no church presence in Dola, Zambia, where there are a lot of orphans due to HIV/AIDS. Zambia has like 1.5 million orphans and a population of 14 million. So, and we're going specifically for orphan ministry. So, you know, we're going to be doing a health clinic, but ministering to kids and what I assume is probably a lot of widows as well. So pray for our whole team, but most importantly that, you know, the gospel will be shared and will be instruments of God's grace and his love for children. And for my own personal testimony, because, you know, my mom is a widow, so that I could, you know, God will use my own story to really love these kids. So on that note, I just wanted to share a scripture that meant a lot to me when my dad passed away. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. And that's Psalm 68, 5 and 6.
Well, let's pray Lisa gets ready and leaves on Friday. Father, thank you for allowing us to pray for Lisa as you're allowing her to participate in your work in Zambia with Pastor John and his family. For the orphans, Lord, in Zambia, Lord, there are so many, and yes, you do care for the orphans and the widows. You say so in your word. And we ask that you would help Lisa and her team to not only minister physically to heal the body, but, Father, to heal the soul and to bring spiritual healing, Father, through your word, their testimony, and what you've done in their lives. Holy Spirit, bring be at work, bring glory to yourself, And we pray, Father, for your good and perfect will to be done. To you be the glory. In all things, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. So today is a great day. We have our graduates. If we can go ahead, Noah, to those slides for the graduates. And it's exciting because we get to celebrate with those who have accomplished milestones in their lives educationally and as they look toward the future. And we want to take time to recognize and celebrate with those graduates. So this morning, all of our graduates are from undergraduate school, and so we decided, okay, what are we going to get our undergrads? So this morning, we're going to pay off all their student loan debt. No. That's exciting, huh? No. So we took, I don't know if you've seen this book. It's by Wayne Grudem. It's a systematic theology book, but it's probably like 1,400 pages. And so we were like, well, we could give the graduates that, and it would probably sit on their shelf forever, make a good paperweight. It's this huge referencing. So he actually came out with a really condensed version that's basically, okay, here are the different doctrines of God. Who is God? Who's the Holy Spirit? What are spiritual gifts? And so we got those for kind of a very compact reference for our students, and our hope is for those who are graduating, as God uses them professionally that and within the church as they're leading Bible studies, this can become a reference for them, something that God can use to help them in ministry. And then our next one, our next gift for our grads this morning is a hardcover moleskin journal, so they can write down, hopefully, much of what God's going to be teaching them here in the future as they continue to go forward. They could write their sermon notes down in. And so it's terrific. I'm really happy to celebrate this morning with our graduates. So this morning, that's our second grad. We need to go back to Corrine. There we are. So what we're going to do this morning is just recognize each graduate. So I'm going to kind of let you guys know where they graduated from, what their future plans are. And then after that, grad, if you'd come up and you guys show your love for them by just a good round of applause, and we'll hand you guys your gifts, and then you can make your way back to your seat. So this morning, our first grad is Corrine, and Corrine graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing from BCU. Starting in July, Corrine is going to start her RN job in the palliative unit at VCU Health. So we can be praying for her as she starts that in July. Corrine, we are so proud of you. All right, our next graduate this morning is Shirley. And Shirley graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing with a minor in Psychology from VCU. She was hired for the operating room at VCU Health starting June 17th. So her kind of future plans or what she might like to specialize in is neurology, outpatient surgery, or trauma. And Shirley, we're so proud of you, so happy to celebrate with you this morning. Our next graduate this morning is Jedediah, and Jedediah graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing with a minor in Psychology from VCU. He was also hired for the operating room at VCU Health starting on June 17th. His future plans, or what he might like to specialize in, is cardiology. And we're happy to celebrate with you, Jedediah. So proud of you. Thank you. Now, all those graduates from VCU in nursing, hopefully this is the only place you ever have to see them. You don't have to see them in the OR or anything like that, all right? So, but if you do, you can ask. If you're in the OR, say, I want Jedediah or I want Shirley, right? So our final graduate today is John. And many of you, John has grown up here in the church. John graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in History from the U.S. Naval Academy. He started on the rugby team, which is what I've heard, one of the top four teams in the country. He will be on temporary duty in the History Department at the Naval Academy beginning mid-August. Then he will be going to Quantico for 9 months of training as a Marine Infantry Officer. Then, Lord willing, hopefully he will be stationed in Southern California to be near his soon-to-be wife, who is also a Marine, second lieutenant in Quantico, and she's pictured here. John is out of the country, but I would like to ask his parents if they would come forward and receive his gift for them, or for him, I'm sorry. Terrific. So four graduates that you all can be praying for as they head forward professionally. And, you know, who knows what God has in store for them. And our prayer, of course, is that, you know, they wouldn't lean on their own understanding, trust in themselves, but they would lean on God and trust in him as they go forward. And just consider, okay, what does it look like to go and make disciples where I'm at professionally? Our careers are really a missionary field, and I hope that's true for you all and that you see that. That's a way for you to connect with others and help them to connect with God. So let's be praying for them and take a minute here this morning to pray for those graduates together. Father, thank you so much for this morning, the opportunity to celebrate and just take a moment to be thankful for our graduates and God, the work that you have done in their lives and how you were faithful and they put in the hours, they put in the work, and God, you helped them in that process. You worked through them to complete that. I pray for Corrine and for Shirley and Jedediah and for John that, Father, their careers would be something that they would take joy in, that God, you would grow them professionally, you would grow them in their knowledge of the field, their expertise, their skills in that area, but more importantly, Father, that they would see their field, see where you're going to have them work and what you're going to have them do as a place for them to be missionaries, a place for them to share the gospel, a place for them to help others connect with God. And Father, we're thankful for them. I pray that you bless them as they continue on this morning in their journey. Help our church to continue to be a support and encouragement to them in the days ahead. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Let's continue worship with the song. Let's stand and sing.
Alone in my sorrows and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. And ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. Canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. A savior display on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. Lord, we lift to you just a song of victory, not our own, but of Jesus. And through that, we can share in the victory. And Father, now we just, Lord, we just give you praise. We bless your name. And we sing to you. Lord, our hearts are open. So, Father, use the rest of our worship service just to speak to us. Send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And, Father, now as we just enter a time that we can just reflect on your goodness and mercy, we just ask that you would just be with us. We're going to give back to you just a portion of what you've given us. But, Lord, we just pray that it would not be of our own pride that we give back to you, but Lord, that it would be because we want to love you. We want to see others come to know you. So Lord, bless these gifts to further your ministry here, not only here at Grace, but in our community. So, Father, we lift this up to you, and we love you. Amen. And Grace, during this time, it's become more of a custom of this, but I just invite you to use this as a time of personal worship. If it's meant for you to just reflect and just pray, then do so. But the worship team, we're going to play and sing a song. If you'd like to join in, please do. Just move how the Holy Spirit moves you at this time.
I give you my life, I give you my trust, Jesus, and you are my God, and you are enough, Jesus, take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your
Grace, at this time, we're going to transition to Kids Church. So children, kindergarten through third grade, you'll be dismissed to your left over here. Just follow Miss Helen with the smiley face sign. I'm going to invite Chris on up to preach.
Good morning. Our elders are leading us through Pressing Forward in Maturity. It's a topical series of matters that we saw. Okay, we still need to grow in these areas, or we might need a reminder in these areas about growth. Just as a reminder, our vision as a church is transforming our community and the world through the power of God's Holy Spirit into disciples of Christ. And we go about doing this by our mission, that we connect to God and to others, that we grow as Christ's disciples, that we serve with his love, and that we go to his world. And so everything that we're talking about is in relationship to our vision and our mission of seeing these are ways that we want to continue to grow and press forward in, and maybe ways that we need to start growing in. So last week, Kevin talked about how we need to look to Scripture for our basis of faith, for our basis of belief, and that we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to meditate on it. Today, we're looking at pressing forward in maturity through ongoing repentance. Not something that's just for whenever you come into salvation, but this is an ongoing reality for the Christian. Now, if you know me, I like to do expository preaching. This is one of the reasons you don't want me doing topical preaching. Look at the scriptures underneath. You might want to get ready to have your Bible open for those. That's a lot to take in. I didn't even include the last set of verses from Philippians chapter 2. So this is why it's good to contain me to a set scripture, so I don't overwhelm anyone. So just be ready for that. Speaking of people who have been overwhelming at times, 2 years ago we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It was actually the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg. So since he's one of the most overwhelming and interesting people in church history, arguably the most interesting man in church history, I created a meme for him. Guys, for some reason, my slide's not working. I'm here. Can you help me get to the next one? This is the meme I created for Luther. I'm trying to get my slides back in control up here, so give me just a second. But I don't always make church announcements, but when I do, I start a reformation. I sometimes can sympathize with him in that way. I try to avoid saying anything new or crazy because it might just do the very same thing. All right, guys, so what's happening is that mine is not working up here for our range. This hasn't happened in a while. So I'm going to just use my slides up here. If I just ask you to go to the next one, y'all just help me out here. So, all right. I'm almost there. Give me just a second. Here we are. All right. Luther was a theologian and a very blunt debater. He really is one of the most interesting people in church history. So maybe you've read some of his things that he stated, but maybe you haven't read all of them. There's this little book, that's not exactly little, but Table Talk by Luther. If you want to just catch some interesting things he says, sometimes they're really insightful, sometimes they're just funny, sometimes they're even slightly rude. But there are some really interesting things that he says and that he does. Now, one of the things you might recognize that Luther has said before is about the book of James, about the letter of James. He referred to it as a right strawy epistle. First of all, I don't know if I've ever used the word strawy as an adjective other than when I'm quoting Luther. But it's a really interesting thing that he says. Because according to Timothy George, Luther did not always feel this way about the book of James. But rather, before this, before he started the Reformation and with his 95 Theses, he acknowledged to his students when he would teach, and it's documented with what he would say, that the book of James agrees with the Pauline epistles, that Paul and James are in agreement, and that both are saying that we are saved by grace through faith, but that we need to evidence this grace and this faith in our lives through our actions. But then something happened, and he nailed up these 95 Theses, and he starts getting backlash, and he starts to realize, hey, look, the church has a major issue when it comes to understanding salvation. Instead of understanding salvation by grace through faith, the church has started to think that salvation is by means of adding to God's grace, that we need to add our works, that we need to buy these indulgences, and that if we do somehow, we might be saved. And so Luther then sees James, and he says, well, it's kind of confounding and problematic if people are not understanding this aright. So let's actually look at James and actually appreciate, like Luther did before the Reformation started, appreciate what James is trying to say regarding our actions. So go ahead and go to the next slide, guys. This is from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James is not saying that you earn your salvation. If you go to the next slide, guys, you'll see that your life, rather, is evidence of faith or lack thereof. It is as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but is the gift of God, and not by works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you hear how it follows up? It's not just that we're saved by grace and he ends there, but rather because we're saved by grace through faith, which is not of our own, it's from God, that we are God's doing. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. If God saves someone in Christ, that Christian displays salvation by faith, and he displays his faith by his actions. This display of faith in action is ongoing. It is to occur daily, as Jesus said, that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, sometimes people have an isolated understanding of repentance. They think just in terms of when they come into salvation, that's when they repent. And also, when people say the word repentance, it's also associated just with the things you're supposed to reject, the things that you're supposed to turn away from. But rather, whenever we look at what Christ is saying, when we look at what God is saying through James and through others, through Paul, repentance is not just turning away from something, but it's also turning to Christ and walking with him for life. So it is turning away from something, but it's also that you start to walk with Christ and you keep walking with him a long ways your whole life. Now, if we are to press forward in Christian maturity, we must learn to repent regularly and actively. Sometimes I feel about the Gospel of Luke, how Luther felt about the letter of James. There are some passages within the Gospel of Luke that push my limits whenever I understand salvation and my practice. In wanting to emphasize salvation by grace and not by works, I myself am challenged by the Gospel of Luke to see that my actions will display whether I know the grace of God or not. So let's look at something within Luke, because I need this challenge from Luke's Gospel. I need to read it and submit to it, and I hope it blesses you as well. Go to the next slide, guys. So Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Go and go to the next slide. Jesus expects full commitment to him as Lord. Jesus is not against things to be enjoyed as part of serving him, but he is against anything that competes with our commitment to him. Did you hear that? Jesus is not against things to be enjoyed as part of serving him, but he is against anything that competes with our commitment to him. Our actions will reveal our commitments. Let's ask a question of the text. Since we just now read that, it seems a little bit strong whenever Jesus says, look, let the dead bury their own dead. So let's ask this. Is it a sin for us to care about people who are lost and dying? Jesus says, let them bury their own dead. Don't you go near that. You go and proclaim the kingdom. Is that a sin? No. No, it's not. Then why was it wrong for the man who said, let me go and bury my father? Why was it wrong for him? Jesus said, don't do it. Because at that particular moment in time, the gospel was not a message to be proclaimed elsewhere and for the church to be built up everywhere. The gospel at that particular time, God's word of salvation, was at a particular place at that particular time. The gospel was standing right in front of that man. Jesus himself is the gospel. At that particular point in time, for you to be a disciple, you actually had to physically follow Jesus. You were to actually be with Jesus. So the circumstances at that time help us understand what Jesus was talking about. So the circumstances have changed, in which Jesus is now at the right hand of the throne of God. The gospel is a message that we all are to proclaim, that we are to make disciples of all nations, and in so doing, the church is to be built up all around the world with local expressions all around the world. So, does that mean we no longer have to obey what Jesus says? Does that mean that when Jesus says, look, let the dead bury their own dead, you go and proclaim the gospel, go and proclaim the kingdom, does that mean we no longer have to obey because it was culturally conditioned? No. That also is not what the text is saying. As Douglas Moo points out about another text, just because there are cultural conditions that were in place for commands does not mean that we are allowed to dismiss those commands. We need to understand the basis and purpose of a command so that we can obey wholeheartedly today. So, when we go to study Scripture, let's do as Kevin says last week. Let's study Scripture in its context and let clear passages from Scripture instruct us on what that which is not clear. So what is Jesus getting at? Is he saying that you should not love your father and your mother? No, we know that's not what he's saying, because we see in Mark 7:11-13 that Jesus expected people to honor their father and mother. This is what he says to some Pharisees. You say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. So Jesus is not saying, stop honoring your father and your mother. You need to understand with the clear passage, giving clarity to this passage here in Luke 9. We also see that the New Testament clearly expects men to care for the people within their household. It is even one of the conditions for our elders, that we're expecting them to actually care for their family as an example of how they will care for the church. So you see that in 1 Timothy 3. So what is Jesus getting at? If we see in Luke 9 that he's getting at something that we are to obey with all three of these guys, what's he getting at for us? Look at the third man. If you have your Bible open, it's in Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Let me read it again and stop at a particular point. I will follow you, Lord, but... Does that go on in your heart when God calls you to repent, when God calls you to obey? I will follow you, Lord, but the hesitancy to follow Jesus for the sake of other things is what Jesus is targeting. One man proclaims he will follow, but has no idea what he will be giving up. Another man doesn't even start with I will follow, but starts with the reason that he needs to go. Jesus is letting us know that if he is truly our Lord, our greatest commitment is to be to him. And this commitment will show up in our actions. Your willingness to continually, daily repent is directly related to your commitment to Jesus. Your willingness to continually, daily repent is directly connected to your commitment to Jesus. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, is what James said. Now, again, last week, Kevin said that we should read, that we should study, and we should ponder Scripture. And as Kevin went to Romans 12, 1 through 2 to show that we should meditate on Scripture, and as we do, we are transformed. Let's look at that again today. So go ahead and go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and I'm going to ask you, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 12, because I'm going to keep these verses on the screen, but we're going to go through the whole chapter of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, look with me at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. This is the part I want you to catch. But be transformed. Be transformed. That's in the passive. It's not something that you are actively able to do for yourself. You do not transform yourself. It would be like saying, you know what, I'm going to try to save my life. Well, Jesus said something about that. He says you're going to lose it. But those who lose your life for his sake, you'll actually save it. The transformation of your heart, of your mind, and actions is the work that God is to do in you. You cannot transform yourself. So, here's a question. What do I do then? If this is God's work to save me, we already talked about that. If this is God's work to sanctify me and transform me, what exactly is my part? Shouldn't I have a part? Yeah, here's your part. You submit yourself to God in Christ. You put yourself in a place where you are submitting to him so that he does that work in you. You walk obediently to the Spirit according to the word. In each step, you are submitting to Christ. You are turning away from what you want as Lord over your own life and turning to Christ as Lord and submitting to him. You are to repent daily in every opportunity to walk with him that long way. So, the natural expectation for the Christian is that you are to be conformed more and more and more to the image of Christ daily as the Christian spends time with God. So, there's no need for instruction, right? No need to tell anyone how they should live their life. It should be natural. You should expect just to happen. I can close the book and I can walk down right now, right? Except that's not where Paul stops. He keeps going on. He explains how this is to look in your life. When Jesus was teaching, like, check out the Sermon on the Mount. He actually tells you what you should expect the disciple to look like. As you repent by turning toward Christ and away from sin, by reading commands like these, you get to see if your beliefs, if your commitments, if your feelings, and your actions are consistent with new life in Christ. So, this is the part where I'm saying, have your Bible out, all right? We're going to go through Romans 12, 3 through 21. Now, as we read these, if you have a pencil or a pen, know what I'm not asking you to do. I'm not asking you to mark anything out. Don't do that. All right? But put little notes for yourself. I don't know if you do this. As I go through things, I put notes. If it's something I want to work on, if something I need to grow in, I'll put a little note in a certain way that I understand is what I'm trying to communicate for myself about it. So put a little mark. If you find something in any of these areas that we talk about right here that you see you have not been submitting to God, that if you see that you need to submit to God so he does this work in your life, put a small mark right there so you can say, God, I need to bring this before you. All right, so starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. This is where I'm going to step back from the scripture. Are you viewing yourself according to the gospel? Or are you viewing the gospel according to yourself? Which one is seeking to change the other? Are you willing to be changed by the gospel? Or for the sake of commitment to your own life, are you willing to change the gospel? Are you willing to be changed by the gospel? Or are you seeking to change the gospel? All right, verses 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Are you doing your part with the church in all the ways that Christ has equipped and called you? In all the ways that you have covenanted with your fellow believers? And by the way, even though it says like each has our own gifting, that we all function in a certain way, don't think just because someone else has a similar gift that that means you are not to express it if it is what Christ is putting before you to do, if it is available and needed. Here's an example, and I talked about it earlier, in which we all are equipped to serve in the same way, even though in various ways of being able to do so. I already talked about what the finance team shared with us earlier, the one who contributes in generosity. Now, in comparison to the rest of the world, America is pretty blessed in terms of finances. And so most people in the church are able to give financially in some way. But I was at a church one time where it was a bunch of broke seminarians. And so like they're saying, we have no money. I can barely pay rent. The mouse has eaten the last of my bread. I don't know what to do. How can I give toward the church? And the leadership said, look, we're all able to give. So even if it is that you can't give financially, they were saying to us, at least maybe some of you can come mow the lawn, you know, do something. But we're all able to give and contribute toward the church in some way. So don't just think just because someone else is gifted in this one way, I can't serve in this way. So Christ is not calling me to serve. And reason your way out of obedience. Verses 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Are you loving without hypocrisy? That one needs just to sit there for a second, doesn't it? Would your actions toward your fellow believers over the past week pass God's Romans 12:9 lie detector test? Are you loving genuinely and without hypocrisy? Or are you being only a taker of blessing from your church family rather than seeking to outdo them in blessing? Do you ignite your passion for Christ by proclaiming the gospel to yourself? Or would you prefer to wallow in the world's mess? Do you persevere in prayer? Or is five minutes of prayer a marathon for you? Do you refresh the hearts of your fellow believers? Do you refresh the hearts of non-believers who are in need? Do you point them toward Christ? Verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. Do you look for the opportunity to judge others? Or do you prepare yourself for forgiveness and reconciliation? Do you meet others where they are, or do you just not care to know anything about them? By the way, our community groups are set up in such a way that we are to know each other, know what's going on in each other's lives. And I had the great joy of having men's accountability this past week. And if you might be thinking, that's weird, you said accountability is a great joy. Trust me, it was. It's our accountability times with the questions that we use are built in many ways off of Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. To have grown men grieving with me and me grieving with them and me celebrating with them is a beautiful and good thing that we are made for. Do you live in harmony with the rest of the church? Or do you seek to stir up division between groups within it, regardless of what might be the distinguishing mark of those groups? What about when you are not with the church? Do you associate only with people who match up with your income, political, or melatonin levels? Do you seek revenge? Do you dismiss peaceful relations as optional? In all these things, we're told by Scripture that we are to overcome evil by doing good, by submitting ourselves to God to be transformed by Him. Now, in this whole section, Paul is not writing to non-believers. He's writing to Christians. Let that settle with you for a second. The very God who's saying He's doing this work in you and that He will continue it into completion is also the same God who's saying, you need to submit in these ways. For you to be transformed, it's a work that God is looking to do in you, but you are to be submitting to Him. And He calls us out in particular ways. Are you willing to be changed by God through time in His Word, through time in prayer, through time and relationship with the church? Is your life open? Are you open-minded and open-hearted to be conformed to the image of Christ? What lines have you drawn in the sand? Lines in which you say you have claimed these parts of your life and they are off limits to God. If Jesus is your Lord, your actions are supposed to reveal your commitment to Him. Does the list from Paul include an area of your life in which you need to repent, in which you need to turn away from your way and walk with Christ? Remember, such repentance is both daily and lifelong. Daily, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross if we are to follow Jesus. But we must also progress along that road of obedience with Christ if we are to be conformed more and more into His image daily. This is a work that God will do in you as you submit to Him. The question is, are you submitting to Him so that He might do this work? Now, if you'll go with me to the last slide, guys, Paul gives one of the greatest compliments that could ever be given to a disciple, to one of his co-workers. In sending Timothy to Philippi, he says regarding him, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I might too may be cheered by the news of you. Check this out. This is so cool. I would love to have this actually be said of me in a way that the person said it with full confidence. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth. Wow. Paul is saying that Timothy was so committed to Jesus that what mattered to Timothy was serving Jesus, period. Paul was confident of this because he saw Timothy's actions and the people at Philippi had seen Timothy's actions. They saw that his commitment in life was lining up with his stated verbal beliefs. As we press forward in maturity as a church, our actions will reveal our commitments. What will our actions show? Will they show you as someone who seeks your own interests? Or will your actions show you as someone who seeks the interests of Christ? To press forward in maturity, we must be willing to be changed by God according to His Word in our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our actions. Today, you may find that God is impressing upon you a particular area of repentance, a particular area of obedience where you need to repent. that he might be bringing to your attention that you have competing commitments and that you need to turn away from those and honor Christ as Lord. Now, it's not a question of if he's doing this. Let's get that stigma out of the room with repentance. This is not a matter of if, it's a matter of in what area. Because this is something for all of us. Unless you are willing to say that you have no need of God's work in your life still in this world, unless that's you, then you are like me and you're saying, I need repentance. It's just a matter of in what way do I need to submit to Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. And then whenever the praise team comes up, please use this time as a time to talk with our Lord, to acknowledge, hey, look, this is the area. I marked down these areas. I need you to work in me in this way because what Christ wants is what I want. So let it be true of me, Lord. And then after you've had that time, use the rest of the time that we have song to have time to worship him, to acknowledge that he is gracious, that he keeps you in salvation, he will continue this work, and that in particular ways that you're going to submit to him, that he's going to work in your life in those ways. So let's pray. Father, I recognize my own need to submit to you in particular ways that I have not been. Thank you for where your word constantly lines us back up with Christ over and over and over again, that your spirit is convicting the world of sin, but also your spirit is drawing us to see in what ways we need to repent. Lord, I ask that for our church, for me, that you would conform us more and more to the image of Christ. Father, that as you bring circumstances into our life, that where we recognize this is not the case, this is not how I've been acting in conformity to Christ, that I pray that you would transform us as we submit to you. God, I pray that you would bless this time, reassure the hearts of the people of Grace Community of your love if they're in Christ. For those that don't know you, Father, I pray that you would draw them to yourself in this time in Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. from creation's birth, giving life to all that God has made. Show your power once again on earth, cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice, that in unity the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, come renew my heart and make me whole.
You may be seated. Let me share two things with you as part of our benediction as you go out. I'll share the later one first and then go back to its basis. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But scooting back to verse 6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it into completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be blessed. Go in love and obey.